in Portland and keep our lives from a devastating obliteration. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, all three of you.
Can I just add one more sentence?
I'm so sorry.
Yes. I was very disappointed that the new ordinance doesn't require landlords to mention RELO in their no-cause evictions or any kind of notice, as my letter was.
Great.
So
I hope you heard me speaking with the Housing Bureau staff that we will do that through administrative rule, because I agree that is important. Thank you. Next three, please.
Our Daisy Quiones and Hilda Hernandez, and she's coming with an interpreter. And they'll be followed by Edith Casterline, Joanne Hardesty, and Margot Black.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hello, everybody. My name is Daisy Quiones, for the record. Dear members of the council, again, my name is Daisy Quiones. I am a lifelong Portlander, a former Multnomah Youth Commissioner, a renter, and I currently work as a tenant education coordinator with the Community Alliance of Tenants and the Immigrant Refugee Community Organization. I work with tenants in the Portland metro area and across the state to inform them about their rights as renters, with a goal that this knowledge and support will empower them to demand safe, stable homes that will allow them to thrive in all aspects of their lives. We regularly get calls on our renters' rights hotlines from tenants calling in with large rent increases and no-cause evictions. For some Portland tenants, learning about the relocation ordinance and that they may be entitled to it provides a real breath of relief, a more tangible chance at some level of stability during this process of displacement. I'd like to also take this moment to thank Commissioner Udaly, Commissioner Fish, and Mayor Wheeler for doing what is right and protecting more of our neighbors by favoring the elimination of the one-unit landlord loophole. This, along with making the relocation permanent, is a step in the right direction to protect a greater number of our Portland renters. CAT supports tenants and municipalities across Oregon working to gain the same renter protections in their own communities. As a Chicana woman here in Portland, daughter to Mexican immigrants, I feel the need to highlight the fact that the vast majority of our community members of color can no longer afford to live within the city. This leaves communities of color vulnerable and to continued and repeated displacement in our neighboring cities where these kind of renter protections don't exist. Portland cannot be the only city with these kinds of renter protections. I hope you, as our municipal leadership, will continue to take bold action to protect our most vulnerable and most impacted tenants from displacement by advocating for relocation assistance across the metro region and the state. Additionally, because Portland is unaffordable to so many of us, the only way a lot of tenants of color can continue living in the city is living in regulated units, and I respectfully request that regulated units also be covered in the ordinance, at least for the time being. Thank you.
Good afternoon.
And I'm also her interpreter.
Buenas tardes.
Buenas
Mi nombre tardes. Es Hilda Hernández. Yo soy una líder de Titán Minor. Primeramente, doy las gracias por dejarme escuchar.
Good afternoon. My name is Hilda Hernández. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be heard and be here today. I am a tenant leader in Titán Manor, the Titán Manor Tenants Alliance.
Fuimos desalojados y gracias a CAT hemos trabajado a los dos años.
We were no-cause evicted, and we've been working with CAT for the last couple years.
Hace dos años recibimos la noticia sin causa, en la cual nos tenía preocupados porque éramos una comunidad de 20 años ahí. No sabíamos qué hacer. Conocimos a CAT, cual nos ayudó a detener el desalojamiento por un año. Pero al siguiente año fue dada la noticia sin causa y tuvimos que pelear duro para que nos dieran la reubicación. Damos gracias a CAT por habernos ayudado en este largo proceso de tener de que reubicarse. Si no hubiera sido por ellos, no hubiera sido posible. Con la ayuda de la ley, todos ya estamos reubicados con éxito. Sería bueno que los fondos continuaran para futura ayuda, porque para muchos de nosotros nuestro salario es muy bajo y es imposible pagar una reubicación forzada.
2 years ago, we all received no-cause notices in Titán Manor, which caused us stress. We were a community living together for 20 years there. We did not know what to do. We found CAT, who helped us stop the eviction, but then the following year, the owners gave us no-cause notices again, and we had to fight hard for them We had to fight hard for them to give us the relocation funds under the new law. We thank CAT for helping us in this process of having to uproot and find new homes. If it had not been for the relocation funds, it would not have been possible. With the help of the law, we are all able to successfully relocate into new homes. It would be good if the funds continued for future help because so many of us are low income and it is impossible to find money to pay for a forced relocation.
CAT es una organización que ha ayudado mucho, pero también quiero saber cómo podría llegar estos recursos a más personas en la comunidad necesitados. Es imposible pagar una reubicación forzada con el salario tan bajo que tenemos.
CAT is an organization that helps a lot, but I also want to know how CAT could reach more people in my community who need information about these resources. It is impossible for a low-income tenant to pay for a forced relocation.
En mi comunidad y en todas partes de Portland hay gente que carecen de esta información sobre la ley que ayuda con los fondos de la reubicación, como en el caso mío. Yo necesito saber que los fondos van a continuar porque puede pasar otra vez en mi familia y otras familias más necesitadas. Y vamos a seguir luchando por el derecho de mis hijos y de una vivienda justa.
In my community and in all parts of Portland, there are people who need information about relocation assistance in cases like mine. I need to know that funds will be there in the future because this can happen again to my family and to other families. I'm here today and will continue fighting for the rights of my children and for fair housing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Gracias.
Gracias.
The next three are Edith Casterline, Joanne Hardesty, and Margot Black. And they will be followed by Alan Kessler, Carol Hanna, and Mark Mizraya.
Good afternoon.
Hello, I'm Edith Casterline. I'm a landlord with currently four rental units, including an ADU. I support the Mandatory Relocation Assistance Ordinance and hope that it becomes permanent. It is within reason for landlords and adds to needed stability for renters. I appreciate the creativity, time, and work that went into the ordinance, which is a good start to needed change. The fewer the number of loopholes, the easier it will be for both landlords and tenants to know what the law is. As someone with an ADU on the lot where I live, I think it should apply to such ADUs. Our duplex is next door, so it's close to being owner-occupied. It should also be subject to the ordinance. I strongly support the ordinance. The ordinance helps us all be more aware of the impact of displacement on renters as people, as community members, and as our kids' classmates and friends. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor, City Council members. For the record, I am Joanne Hardesty, and it is a pleasure to be here this afternoon at this late hour. First, I want to thank you for the opportunity to testify today, but more importantly, I want to thank you for changing your mind. It is really hard in an elected position to change your mind publicly, and I know you've taken a lot of heat for that, but I want to personally thank you because it's never too late to do the right thing, especially if it's for the right reason. Your actions today show that when you get better information, you make better decisions. You may remember this Sunday had a Oregonian article that talked about children that are going to 3 to 4 different schools per school year because of their need to actually move because their families can't afford the rent increases that they are encountering. And so clearly the issue isn't just impacting individuals, it is impacting communities and community stability as well. The efforts you're taking today will help, but as always, the devil's in the detail. It was very interesting listening to the dialogue and deliberation about what should be exempted and what shouldn't be. I personally want to make sure that we don't treat poor people differently than we treat people who make a living wage. And so when we talk about exempting people because they're in public housing, as if somehow it's going to be easier for them to relocate, I would ask you to reconsider that. You may know that over 50% of families today are renters in Portland, and most of us, and I include myself in that group, are feeling very uncomfortable. Because we know that is it the next rent increase or is the one after that that's going to make us have to make a choice about whether or not we now have to relocate again? Man, that was a quick 2 minutes. In closing, I just want to say that the disruption to families pushed out because their income hasn't risen as fast as their rent impacts the entire community, from neighborhood markets to schools to faith institutions. Communities cannot be stable when people are not stable in their housing. So thank you. I look forward to continuing to work with you, and you have my detailed statement in front of you.
Thank you. I want to comment on something you just said about changing your mind. I'm going to give you an analogy.
Okay.
So somebody goes to medical school. We had a doctor here earlier.
Yes.
And they go because they want to make people better.
Yes.
So they get a patient, and the patient comes in, and they do some tests, and they come up with a diagnosis, and then they prescribe a treatment.
Yes.
Over a period of days, weeks, or longer, they get more information. They read journals. They hear about research. They talk to their colleagues. They talk to other people in their profession who might have some opinions. They might talk to other patients that have been on alternative treatments.
Yes.
And they come back to the patient and they say, you know what? I've just learned a few things or nuances or new insights or research or have had the opportunity to consider. I'm going to change either your diagnosis or change the prescription.
Yes.
Why don't we call that person a flip-flopper?
Mayor Wheeler?
We call that person a good doctor.
Yes, we do.
And we do this in every profession that I can think of,
yes,
but one.
Yes.
And so I want to make a clear differentiation here between changing your mind and changing values.
Yes.
And I want to be very clear that throughout this process, my values have remained rock solid. But that does not mean I forego the opportunity to listen to people, to yes, gather information, to talk to people who are experts, talk to people who have firsthand experience, talk to my colleagues or anyone else. And so I hope that when you are out there in the community and you hear elected officials who are maintaining consistency of value being berated because they have changed tactics or approach based on information or even experience gathered, that you will defend that kind of thinking. Because frankly, this idea that in the public sphere there is no room for movement is part of the problem we're experiencing in Washington. People get locked down into a certain position, and then they say, wow, I'm locked down. And even as science changes or information changes or experience changes, people have already come out on the record, and they will not change their mind. And as you look at the national debate around global climate change and realize why the United States is an outlier, it's in part because of the way we are socialized that to change one's perspective based on information, science, or experience is somehow a bad thing when it is just the opposite. Think of the doctor. Thank you for that. Sorry.
Thank you. Could I make a brief response? I think I hit a nerve, but I do want to make a brief response to that.
You most certainly did.
What I want to say is that's what I want from elected leadership. I want elected leadership that isn't so committed to their own worldview that they're unwilling to hear from other people who have had different lived experiences. And so I hope you in no way heard my words as criticism.
Not at all. I heard just the opposite. Okay. You got me thinking.
Right.
What we should hold people up to is consistency in values.
Yes.
When somebody changes their core values, that's really problematic. But when somebody takes information into account or research or experience, it's just my belief that that is a fundamentally different thing. And we sometimes convolute those two things to the detriment of our community.
I don't think we do, Mr. Mayor. I think people who want to create conflict do. I will leave you with a quote from one of my favorite poets, Maya Angelou. She says, When you know better, you do better. Thank you.
Well said. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor.
You know how it is
once you put the hat on, you can't take it off. My name is Margo Black. I'm an organizer with Portland Tenants United, a registered lobby group with the City of Portland, also a former member of the Relocation Technical Advisory Committee and a member of the Rental Services Commission. And I just want to point out that I am still a member of the Rental Services Commission and did not quit when you initially said that you would not be lifting the exemption. Thank you so much to City Council and all the renters here for this opportunity today. Thank you very, very much, Mayor, for your change of heart and for some explanation about where that comes from in terms of values versus information. I know this has been a controversial policy and that you all are under intense pressure and scrutiny regarding every component of it. I know that you have heard from and will continue to hear from probably tonight small and landlords, small and big, about why this policy is a bad idea, especially about why, as a loving small mom and pop landlord trying to do the right thing by providing housing, should these people be punished by paying relocation fees. But we need to remember something very important. This policy is not about punishing landlords. It's not about good or bad landlords, or big or small landlords, mom and pop, or corporate landlords, or local or out-of-state landlords. It's not about landlords at all. It's about tenants. It's about housing security, which everyone deserves. It's about not living and renting in fear. Believe it or not, I'm not actually against landlords. I have lots of good friends and even family who are landlords, and I don't agree that they're all evil or greedy or filthy rich, because none of this is about greed or money. It's about power. It's about the fact that when it comes to our home, the place that we raise our babies, host our friends, and nurse our loved ones, landlords have all of it. They make all the rules, and they have all sorts of tools to enforce them. We have no negotiating power and no tools besides a courtroom when our rights are violated. Even the nicest, best, most loving and ethical and humble mom-and-pop landlords still have all the power to upend someone's life with rent increases or hundreds of dollars a month or forcing them from their home for no reason at all. And even if they don't use that power, they have it, and we shouldn't be reliant on their goodwill for our sense of security. Thank you so much for your change of heart on this policy. I support the amendments that have been suggested by other advocates on the Housing Committee, and I've sent you an email suggesting justification for those and others.
Thank you. Thank appreciate
you.
It
please
all.
Please tell me why the hats of the-
well,
why not?
Then why not?
There's a picture of Commissioner Daley's policy director, Jamie Duhamel, and I at a party for Ted Wheeler 2 years ago when he was a candidate, right after releasing the Tenants' Bill of Rights, where I'm wearing this hat. And shortly after his change of heart, the landlord lobby circulated that picture and put out a full-color mailer, which they sent out to all of their constituents, telling them about Ted's flip-flop and our radical policies. And so I just thought this was appropriate.
Thank you.
Yes.
The next three are Alan Kessler, Carol Hanna, and Mark Mizrahi, and they'll be followed by Mariah Sworsky, Glenn Farrell, and William Archer.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Why don't you go ahead and start? They'll
very
join
well.
You in a moment.
Mayor Wheeler, commissioners, my name is Carol Hanna. I speak today on behalf of my daughter, Frances Hanna, who cannot attend this proceeding because she is completing an internship in Shanghai, China. 2 days ago, on February 26, Frances received email notification of a no-cause eviction from a residence that she'd only moved into 3 weeks before she departed for her internship in China. Frances will not return to Portland until the end of March. This is Frances's second no-cause eviction in 14 months. Both her prior landlord and her current landlord own single units. Frances is a senior at Portland State University. She's majoring in international relations and Mandarin. Throughout most of her college career, Frances has worked full-time and paid her own living expenses while carrying a full academic load. Her father and I are proud of her independence and responsibility. Now Frances has to face the expense and instability of relocating yet again upon her return from China. Frances supports, as do we, her parents, the closing of the single rental unit exemption. However, as I understand the ordinance being considered by the council today, the removal of the single unit exemption will not be retroactive, and Francis again will be displaced without relocation assistance. In fact, it appears that her current landlord's no-cause eviction, issued only 2 days ago, was inspired by the consideration of this ordinance today. It is fundamentally unfair that Francis's landlord and other landlords can dodge providing mandated relocation expenses because the ordinance being considered is not retroactive. On behalf of Francis and other similarly situated tenants, I respectfully request that paragraph E1 and 2 of Exhibit A to 30.01.085, the Portland Renter Additional Provisions, not be stricken. Thank you for your consideration of my daughter's position.
Thank you. And I just want to put out another reminder, if there are folks with disability or small children who'd like to be bumped to the front of the list, please talk to Carla over here in the main council chamber and we'll orchestrate that. Thank you for your testimony. Good afternoon.
Just as a note, I believe that the Oregon Constitution says we're not allowed to do retroactive laws.
I'm sorry?
I think the Oregon Constitution says that we're not allowed to do retroactive laws.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for this opportunity. My name is Leah Isaac. I represent Portland Tenants United as an organizer. And I really think it was an amazing thing that you said just a bit ago, that housing is a human right. That is a landmark and remarkable proclamation, because it is 180 degrees at odds with housing viewed as an investment or something to exploit people with, to dichotomize our society as landlords, investors versus a lower class of people that are disempowered, disenfranchised, and dissed in every way. I am opposed to dichotomies. I am opposed because it causes isms, which cause bigotries. I am a transgender person. I have experienced evictions and hate crimes because of who I am in regards to housing and evictions. The policies for LGBT people and trans people are not applied. We do not have lived equality. We are not experiencing fairness and equality in housing. We are being evicted for who we are. We are subjected to hate crimes against us. I was recently, about 3 weeks ago, beaten and suffered a hate crime, a transphobic hate crime. I was called many things, among them a big fat faggot, and the F-bomb was used a lot, and you're a man, and it was awful. Three women did help me out, and I was appreciative of this. But I am homeless right now because of not getting relocation assistance. I am homeless now because of bigotry, and there are landlords out there that are not using the law. And I think that we need to have application of the laws utilized, because we are not experiencing lived equality as tenants, as any people. We are human beings, and I'm glad that you made that proclamation, because it is absolutely incredibly remarkable.
Thank you.
Because that's the way it is. We're people. Thank
you. Appreciate it very much. It's glad to hear your testimony. Thank you. Oh, sorry. You already did testify. Thank you. Next three, please.
All right, we're going to go with Arlie Lopez, Mariah Schwartzky. Oh, sorry. Let's go with Glenn Farrell, William Archer.
And Carla, just a process check. Carla, how many more do we have? Carla, during this testimony, could you count how many we have left, just so I can get a time check? Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. You're going to have to excuse me. I'm like a little bit emotional and angry. My name is Arali Lopez, and I am a volunteer with Portland Tenant United. I'd like to thank Mayor Wheeler and the commissioners for extending relocation assistance protections. These protections have brought struggling tenants relief by reducing severe rent increases and no-cost evictions. RELO is a good beginning, but our rental housing crisis and our unequal tenant-landlord relationship demands additional protections. I'm going to talk about my experiences with maintenance and the safety of the homes that some of these landlords fail to do. I have called Bureau of Development Services many times, and to this day, on the 23rd was the last day that they were at my house, and my stove does not work still. I live in constant fear right now that my house is going to burn because I'm going to forget something in the back burner. My stove has not worked since I moved into the second apartment. It is a 51-unit apartment. And I was moved from another apartment where also Bureau of Development Services did nothing to help me. I've called the inspectors when they have been there because, you know, I had issues that they were not checked. I have called their supervisors who will say they're going to call me back and will not call back. With this last issue of my stove, the supervisor promised he will call me back. He has not called me back to date. Things like this are the ones that you leaders have to look at, that tenants have to deal with. I shouldn't have to be in fear of living in an apartment that I think is going to burn because of a stove.
So let me help you out here. Who from my team? Cupid, over there in the corner. Can we make sure? Okay, great. There's a couple of people who want to help you out over here. We'll get your contact information and your address. It's a very dangerous situation, and I thank you for coming here and sharing it with us because it's a good example. But it's a very dangerous situation, and I want to make sure that we get your stove fixed.
Not only that, but there shouldn't be the dates of – there should be priorities to things that should be, you know, by the Bureau of Development Services that they should be issued. I was told 4 to 6 weeks for them to come and check, you know, the issue about my stove. That is not something that should be like that. There's an electrical problem with my stove. There's not only that issue, but many more issues, mold issues, that I think the city needs to really address because there is no laws that deal with mold. They just paint over it, you know, scratch it off a little bit, and then I have to deal with it again. It comes back in a couple months. That is not right. We shouldn't have to live like that.
No disagreement. So we'll get you set up. Commissioner Udaly, did you have something you wanted to say?
I just wanted to ask you to talk to my staff over there because the Bureau of Development Services is in my portfolio, and we are in charge of inspecting rental units, and it's certainly something that we take very seriously. So if you could talk to her, that'd be great because we need to move on to the next person.
Yeah, I've had...
Thank you.
Four things, you know. I've had four issues with this, and my door does not work also, and I'm disabled, and I cannot get into my house because of this.
So there's a lot of issues. Like you have lots of issues.
Yeah.
We're going to resolve them. So talk to Jamie over there, and we'll get it
done. I'd just like to finish a little bit more. You know, Portland provides very few resources to tenants and lacks a functional rental housing inspection. A functional inspection system, often the only resource is to... sue the landlords or go to court. Many tenants suffer in silence because the lack of resources to sue or the fear of retaliation for relocation assistance to be effective in creation cre- in creating housing stability. It needs to be paired with their Office of Landlord and Tenant Affairs that educates tenants and directly assists tenants.
Thank you, and I always hate to look like a jerk when I do this, but we've got lots of people lined up here to testify, and it's getting late. So Jamie will help you out.
Can you guys also just make sure that you guys...
Give Jamie the whole list.
This is about
and you're
Relo.
Hearing it from me directly.
You have a different
we'll work
issue.
With you. We'll work with you. We promise. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is William Archer. I'm the owner of a single-family home in Southeast Portland, as well as two others that I've turned into what I call Archer's Recovery Homes. We help 12-step members relocate and get into a communal living arrangement in which they don't have to worry about broken stoves, bad roofs, property taxes, and these kinds of things. So I'm indirectly helping about 15 people in the city, including the home that I live in. These are one bedroom, these are single room occupancies, and from my understanding, if you do change the ordinance to exempt single family or single owners, single unit exemptions, it will affect my business in the property in which I reside and the other properties. And I would encourage you guys to have more testimony ahead of time. It's a little alarming to me that all of a sudden there's a lot of confusion around some of the procedures and exemptions that are proposed today in today's ordinances that weren't really discussed, and I would have liked to have a little more open dialogue regarding these issues ahead of time. So we provide safe, stable, and affordable housing for people that are evicted, and I don't worry about that when I'm dealing with these people that are in recovery. For me to have to worry about a relocation fee when there is a problem with recovery, it's an issue for all of us, and it does affect my business. So I appreciate you thinking about this kind of stuff, but I would like a little more open dialogue before these changes are made. It would make me feel a lot better as a small business owner.
Very good. And I know that we're looking to have an information process related to the Rental Service Commission, which has been recently stood up to continue to discuss all of these things on an ongoing basis. And if you would like to be engaged in that process and know when those meetings are, or at least know what's discussed at those meetings, we'd be happy to plug you into that directly.
Okay.
And if you could just, maybe Cupid, I could assign you that responsibility if you could just talk to Mr. Alexander over there.
Okay.
Great. Thank you for coming in.
Sure.
We appreciate it.
Thanks.
Good afternoon.
My name is Maria Sworsky. I've been providing affordable housing in the local area for 23 years. I'm urging you not to extend the emergency ordinance. It's hurting the people that it's trying to protect. I am no longer taking chances on marginally qualified applicants. Whereas before, I knew that about a third of those people I took a chance on, I would be giving them a no cause. And now I can't do that. I have to tighten up my criteria. As my costs go up, I have to raise the rents. I've already been, since this ordinance passed, raising rents that I wouldn't normally raise. For 3 years in the past, I wouldn't even raise rents for 3 years, and now I'm afraid that I won't have my legal defense built up, and I won't be able to pay someone's relocation fees if the other tenants on the property or the neighbors complain, like I have been in the past. As a mom and pop, it used to be that I could talk to my tenants. They'd come to me, they have a problem, we work it out. Now I'm feeling like the rent is being forced up to maximum, and I'm not going to have to give breaks because I have to worry about myself now, and I can't be just giving breaks to people. This has created an adversarial relationship, not symbiotic. And as far as the single unit exemption, I'm a realtor. That's my full-time day job. And I have personally, firsthand, helped landlords sell homes that were converted to owner-occupied homes. And that is the trend. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your coming in. Thanks, both of you. Next three, please.
Okay, and after them, I show 28 more people
28,
on the list.
Very
after
good.
The next. Okay. Next
Order
is
pizza.
Glenn Farrell. Pamela Ordway and Estelle Golden.
So, folks, again, I don't like to be the microphone guy. So 2 minutes, please stop, so I don't have to ask. All right? Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hello. Can we start now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I'm a small landlord. I've been a landlord for 30 years.
What's your name, please?
Oh, my name is Glenn Farrell. I'm sorry. You know, I would like to say that it sounds like it's going to pass before all of our testimony was taken, so it was kind of discouraging, but I still want to make a statement. I've used no-cause terminations when I had no choice. It's not a choice that I would like to make, but sometimes people make trouble that you can't prove. They don't. Other tenants don't want to come down for a cause termination. They don't want to be witnesses. I think it's going to really hamstring small landlords. Now, you've talked about some people, I've heard larger units. We don't have the resources that a large unit has. I just think it's just going to make it much more difficult for me to be a good landlord and to be a landlord that's tried to keep my costs down.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Estelle Golden. Thank you, Commissioner, for the opportunity to speak today. Air, water, food, shelter, these are the most essential needs of life. As an owner of a small duplex in Southeast Portland, I provide shelter. I take this responsibility very seriously. I aim to provide clean, comfortable, safe, and affordable housing to my tenants. In this capacity, I also take on significant financial risk. In return, I seek a modest profit. I'm always mindful of my tenants' finances when renewing leases and strive to keep increases to 2%. I want to testify today about my serious objection to the portion of the ordinance compelling landlords to continually renew or continue tenancies. While most tenants pay the rent on time and follow the rules, there is a small group of type of tenants that I call stinkers. Stinkers may always pay late or damage the unit or cause problems for their other tenants or neighbors. I want to keep good tenants. They are my customers. But occasionally, I get a stinker, and sometimes it's time for them to move on. This is fair to me and to my other tenants. I'm not going to go too much further, but I'll say that in a situation where you have someone who's damaging the unit or not paying or generally is disruptive to their neighbors, to have to pay them to relocate just seems like a terrible injustice and very unfair. There was a woman earlier who testified about some having more nuance on the law regarding, you know, a landlord who has very small increases working on minimal, you know, income and trying to navigate all of this. And I would encourage you to consider more nuance in the relocation process that would accommodate this.
Thank you. Very good. Thank you. And I don't know if the housing staff wants to react to that at all. Should we put it at the end? Put it at the end. Great. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Pam Ordway, and thank you for the opportunity to speak today. I am a partner with both my husband and also separately with other family members operating 17 rental units in the metro area, mostly houses and a few small plexes. I've owned rentals in the metro area since 1998, and like most rental owners, we started by converting our first home into a rental property. I thought about talking about one of our horror stories where a tenant moved in and seemed fine at first, but later, unbeknownst to us, moved in her extended family and it ended up with other tenants complaining about bicycles suddenly disappearing, yelling and screaming all night long, cannabis accessories and garbage showing up on the front lawn, smoking in the laundry room, and finally a fire that destroyed the fence between our property and our neighbors. All these occurrences had no witnesses, and even the report from the fire department couldn't say for sure who caused the fire, so we didn't feel confident enough to evict the tenant with cause. This particular property is not in the city of Portland, so we were able to use a no-cause eviction and remove the tenant. It was only after the fact that one of the other tenants, who has been there 7 years, told us that she was getting desperate and had been looking for some place to move because it was becoming unbearable. if it would have been in Portland, I would have had to ask myself, is it worth $4,200? It was a two-bedroom apartment. Is it worth $4,200 to me to evict with no cause? Because it would have fallen on my plate to pay that. I want to tell you that little story, and then I also thought, well, I would just speak frankly. Operating rental properties involves plenty of risk from factors we can't control. Why would I continue to operate in an area where there are unnecessary risks being piled on by local government? And I'm beginning to think that I don't. There are plenty of other areas I can operate rental properties without local government adding unnecessary and onerous restrictions. I'm just going to mention, in the last 2 years, we've gotten rid of 3 single-family houses inside the city of Portland. We're reinvesting in other areas or transferring into luxury properties that don't.
Okay, thank you.
That
got
don't
it.
Have that.
Thank you. So I want to give you a provisional answer, and later on we'll have the Housing Bureau. But I believe every single circumstance you mentioned, those are for cause explicitly. So you do not have to pay relocation for any of the issues that you mentioned, but all at the housing. They're
but
giving you a thumbs up.
It's proving them in court that is the
problem.
That's
the problem. If you don't have people to support it,
no one wants to show up and be a witness, even if you offer to give them a discount for rent.
Well, nonetheless, that has nothing to do with this ordinance. I'm not saying that's not a problem.
That's the benefit of the no-cause termination. It's not a no-cause eviction.
I was speaking about having to continue them as tenants after the lease is completed. That's what I was really speaking
okay,
to.
Fair,
not,
fair
I,
enough.
Not a
but
no
I,
cause
I want to be very clear. There's
the
nothing
the
about
Tennessee.
This ordinance no. that changes whether or not those individuals would get, they would not get relo for the things that you described.
Correct.
Committing
but
crimes,
I'm compelled
committing
to
acts
keep
of
them
vandalism.
On. That's my point. I'm compelled to keep them on.
Well, if nobody will corroborate the story, that's correct.
That's my point.
Well,
tenants don't want to take time off from work to go to
well,
court.
You have well, there's a lot of reasons, but it also might be because it's not true.
Not if they're telling
Next
you.
Next 3,
this.
Please.
Okay. Anyway.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure. I mean, there's a documentation process you could go through, and we've suggested that in previous conversations here. If you want to go through the apartment with the tenant and you photograph or document the condition of the apartment, that's like one obvious solution that one could be engaged in. Just a suggestion.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Next 3.
Steve Demarest, Lori Melson, and did Lucy Berger switch with Steve Walker? Are either of them here?
I'm Lucy.
Okay, so okay. You switched with Steve?
We're not going to.
That's fine. Okay, so we'll go Lucy then.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Just let me get in here. Thank you. Oh, I just lost it. Mayor Wheeler, City Commissioners, my name is Stephen Demarest. I'm a longtime Portland resident. I'm testifying as president of SEIU Local 503, a union that represents over 60,000 Oregon workers and their families. I am the chair of SEIU State Council, which, in addition to Local 503, includes SEIU Local 49, which represents over 13,000 other workers and their families in Oregon and Southwest Washington. SEIU Local 49 may be registered as a lobbyist with the city. The majority of the workers we represent are low-wage workers. They are disproportionately people of color. Many of them live in Portland. Many of them rent the residences in which they house their families, which includes school children. With the month-to-month cost of living, including the cost of housing in this area, these workers and their families do not have the ability to create and maintain the resources to self-finance 2 months of rent, deposits, and the other costs associated with an involuntary move. The members of my union adopted as official union policy an acknowledgement that there is a housing crisis in Oregon, that this is clearly a working family issue, which especially presents a hardship to low-income workers, and that this crisis needs immediate and meaningful solutions, including better protection of tenants' rights and welfare. The fact that there's a longstanding housing crisis in Portland means that the current system of providing housing to our city's population is inadequate. Stable housing is a human right, thank you, Mayor, and a condition of a healthy community. The welfare of all our residents is the primary responsibility of you and our government. The welfare of our children has a special urgency. The failure to ensure human rights and the general welfare requires changes be made to the current system. Better protection of tenants' rights and welfare is one of those required changes. I'll skip to the end.
You could end right there. That would be really helpful.
Okay.
Thank you. You made
all right,
some
Commissioner
good points.
Mayor.
You made good points. Thank you.
That
was great.
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Lori Nelson. It's N instead of M. It's said on there. Thank you for this opportunity to not only voice my opinions, concerns, vision, whatever. It's made me listen, too. I'm glad I'm one of the later ones, so I could listen, learn, and have a more open mind. I've spent about 24 hours dissecting this issue as a small mom-and-pop landlord. I'm going to read what I had composed and then let everybody boo behind me. My husband and I own an 11-unit apartment complex in an older, well-established neighborhood in Portland. My father-in-law's construction company built, owned, and managed over 100 multifamily complexes built from the ground up exclusively in this city since the 1960s. He was a strong advocate of maintaining affordable quality and personal living properties for decades. Upon acquiring one of his units in 2008, my husband and I strived to continue with his philosophies. We currently have a long-term tenant of 32 years and another couple that have been there 19. We also have had, in the last 4 years, had three separate couples within their 18 to 24-month tenancy purchase their first homes. So by sticking with all the rules. We did, although, have a situation where a no-cause eviction notice was necessary, a necessary situation. They ended up opting to move, but to have to relocate that person would have really devastated us. So I'm just I'm curious to see if there's any way to, by getting all this information, is to the larger structures, you know, have a certain criteria with, you know, or the amount of units or something. I'm hearing kind of that. And my other bullet point with 2 seconds, I love the idea of the lady with, if you have a lease, you have a, with a certain percentage of race, you know, I would be willing to go from month to month to a lease with something like that considered. Thank you.
That's helpful. Great. Thank you. Appreciate your being here. Good afternoon.
Hi, my name is Lucy. I just want to say thank you. We've come a long way in a year, and I really appreciate all the hard work and efforts that you put forward and the change that is coming from this. I really am happy that we are going in such a good direction. I mostly want to testify to the landlords in the room who are saying a no-cause eviction is necessary. A no-cause eviction is never necessary. A roof over your head is necessary. Imagine you have a mortgage. You've had it for 4 months. You've had it for 10 years. You've had it for 20 years. And all of a sudden, the bank comes to you and says, actually, sorry, we're going to take the house. No reason, no nothing, no explanation. That is what it's like to be no-cause evict. That's what it's like to be ripped from your home and your community. This is not a punishment. This is to keep people housed, it's to build our community, and to build stability. And I thank you for making these efforts to protect our community.
Thank you. Thanks, all three of you. We appreciate it very much.
Next three are Robert Aquino, and is Don Belcastro here? He's gone. Okay, so it'll be Robert Aquino, Sam Waith, and Rebecca Webster.
Why don't you go ahead and start, please?
London Claver, Candace Aston.
Sorry.
Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to speak in front of all you esteemed people. My name's Robert Aquino. I was an 8-year tenant in a Southwest condo and a victim of no-cause eviction of a certain property management company. But then back then, there were no reload options or anything like that. Therefore, an eviction on my rental history made it difficult for me to find suitable housing. So we'll take it to the next level of houselessness. Go from there, not having an SSI. I'm 60 years old, waiting to retire. Basically living on my own resources for the last 8, 9, 10 years, which brings us up to the current time. I'm here to support the Portland Tenants United and RELO. I'm also a member of the Village of Hope. Evictions can lead to houselessness. No-cause evictions are similar to homeless sweeps. Evictions and sweep causes undue stress or even trauma, and in extreme cases, death. There's been several deaths this winter from just people dying from exposure. Evictions and sweep keep people off balance, disrupting even basic routines like hygiene and diet, which causes more stress. Add on lack of security, both physical and personal. Constantly relocating, trying to keep appointments, and the stress compounds accordingly. So the bottom line is, after all, don't we all just want to have a warm, relaxing, secure place to lay our heads?
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Thanks for being here. Good afternoon.
Hello. So Candace Aston had to leave. She's a single mom, so I will read her testimony. My name is Candace. I'm a lawyer and small business owner here in Portland. I'm also a single mother to two daughters, and I have $100,000 in student loans. So you can imagine that I very much live check to check, especially as rents and other costs continue to rise in our city. When I was served with an unexpected 90-day notice to vacate back in the fall, I was filled with fear. I was devastated to leave what I thought would be a long-term home, and I felt like a total failure telling my kids we're moving again. This was the fourth time in 4 years that I had been forced to move by no choices of my own. Each year for the last 4 years, I've tried to save and budget my way to where I can begin to get ahead. And each year, I've had to spend and borrow and round up the support of my friends to make these moves. Application fees, $90 a pop, because I now have to pay a fee for my daughter who just turned 18 and can't afford to rent a place in the city. First month's rent, last month's rent, deposit, pet deposit, other fees, not to mention moving costs. My total moving fees are around $5,000. My friend told me I might qualify for the new relocation assistance, and so I cautiously looked up what the law provided for. Moving from a three-bedroom, I would qualify for $4,500 in relocation assistance. This would change everything for my daughters and me. And then I read the exemption. I was the only renter my landlord had left. He had sold his other properties the past summer, making a nice chunk of change and exempting him from having to pay relocation assistance. I want to thank the mayor and city council for its consideration in lifting the ban. However, the unit I rented was a duplex unit, and so if the city decides to make an exemption for duplexes, people like my children and me will still be out of luck. I believe that this exemption will make these units unattractive for renters. I certainly will do everything I can to avoid them in the future, and so you will have the most desperate renters in these units who will be hit the hardest without relocation assistance. Any exemptions are a bad idea. The landlord who benefits from the monthly rent and increase in equity in the investment is in the best position to take the loss when they choose to evict a tenant.
You've made your point well. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Hi. I'm testifying on behalf of London Clower. She's a 21-year-old student at PSU, and she wants to tell the council about when she was no-cause evicted when she was 13 years old. I feel her testimony is very important considering the exemptions on the table, and I hope you tell Saltzman and Fish. Okay. Me and my little brothers, who were 1 and 4 at the time, moved from Vancouver, Canada, for my stepdad's new job. We drove down 5 times to look at houses to rent because my mom wanted to make sure we found a good place and that we could stay there a long time until I was done with high school and my brothers could start kindergarten. We found an amazing house that the owner was moving out of to accept a new job in New York. We loved the place, the neighborhood, and the location was perfect. My mom made sure that this was a long-term rental, a place that we could live until we could afford to buy a home in the neighborhood, our dream. The owner told us that she was never coming back and that she'd probably sell us the house in a couple years and that we could sign a 2-year lease if that would make us feel better. My mom said yes, but then the property management said no so that they could raise the rent after 1 year. But we trusted the owner and moved in. We were a happy family with a cat, a dog, and after years of school and hard work, my formerly teen single mom felt like she'd made it. I took the bus to school from the corner, made a ton of great friends in the neighborhood, but put in a garden in the spring, got a trampoline, and a really cool plastic pool from Costco, which made me very cool, and planned our first ever family vacation. We decided to host an exchange student. We finally felt like a normal, happy family. Then, near the end of our lease, we got a 30-day notice to move. Life had changed, and the owner and her daughter had moved back in. I was devastated. I cried. I felt like I had done something wrong. Why wasn't this happening to any of my friends or neighbors? My mom fell into a depression. My parents fought. We canceled our vacation. We couldn't afford it because of the move. It was so hard on us. My mom still rents, saying that the bad timing of that financial hit made it so they would never be able to buy a house.
Thank you.
No one in my family has spare houses for us to move into. So I don't see why people who are privileged enough to own homes should be able to inflict so much harm on people who don't. Thank you for passing this ordinance, but I wish it covered all tenants.
Got it. Thanks. Thanks, both of you. Next three, please.
Grant Sawyer, Zeph Fishlin, and Kelly Nall Francois. Angela Baldwin. Corinthia Bethune.
Very good. Would you mind starting for us, please?
Hi, my name is Seth Fishlin. Thanks for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you.
I'm actually new to Portland. I moved here from the San Francisco Bay Area, where I went through 3 evictions in 5 years and moved many, many friends who were evicted from their homes. So I've seen the impacts of this situation in a different place. And so I'm really interested in what's happening here in Portland. And I looked at the proposed exemptions for this legislation, and the first thing that comes to mind for me is all the creative ways that landlords will find to get around these exemptions based on what I've seen in the Bay Area. In the Bay Area, there is a rent board that exists that does cover especially the owner move-in exemption is really interesting to me because I've seen that be abused over and over again in the Bay Area. And in the existing regulations that you have, I see it's really just one line. If I'm looking at that line and I'm a Portland landlord who wants to save a few thousand dollars, it seems like that's a high priority for many of the landlords who have spoken tonight. I think it would be very easy. I would just say, you know, I'm going to move my uncle in or my cousin. And then the tenants have to leave, and I don't have to pay them relo. And then if I think that anybody's actually paying attention, then I would actually maybe move that person in for a month, and then they can leave. Because there's no regulation that says how long they have to be there. There's no enforcement mechanism in San Francisco. Many times landlords would get people out on the basis of an owner move-in, and then they would never actually move a relative into the apartment because there was no enforcement mechanism. There was nobody watching. So I know people who've actually kept tabs on an apartment that they had to leave, and then they were able to prove down the line that it just got re-rented. So that happens a lot. So I just want to say that for something to keep an eye on in the future in terms of how to write this regulation so it actually has teeth. I'm just going to leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Hello. Commissioner, Mayor, my name is Corinthia Bethune. I'm an African-American female, and I was born and raised in Portland, Oregon. I'm here today to tell you about my experience with Portland Tenants United of substantial changes in my rental agreement. PTU gave me the information and tools I needed to try to utilize a relocation option during the recent rent and lease changes at my current residence. The situation at my current residence involved receiving a notice from the leasing office stating that I needed to sign a form as soon as possible to change my rental contract to a 3, 6, or 12-month lease.